Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2, Selma Berkman and Estelle Krumman are interviewing Myrtle M. Fisher on December 18, 1975, Side 7. You were telling us about the religious observances.
We have lived a very traditional Jewish life in the family, celebrating every holiday and every detail in which the children participated. When the children were in school, they did not attend public school, for instance, during the holidays. But there was one law. We had to go to synagogue services. When they came home from shul, they could do whatever they wished, but when they stayed out of school, they had to go to services.
Was that difficult? It was permitted at Linden School, and there was no problem.
I didn't ask any questions. It was a Jewish holiday, and they didn't go to school. And whether the teachers liked it or not, or the principal liked it, it wasn't for them to decide. We just
Are your grandchildren in public school now?
All four of them are in private schools.
Where are they?
The three of them are at McCune.
Where is that?
That's on Ellsworth and Fifth.
Would you spell that?
M-C, I think, K-E-U-N.
And what type of a...
what they call these schools?
Parochial?
No. It's a
open classroom.
Open classroom, right? And Laura is at Ellis. She too had attended McCune, but this is her first semester at Ellis.
And this is Laura. Her
Komen.
How old is she?
9. She's the only girl of 4 grandchildren.
Can you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh of yesterday, in socially, culturally, or politically?
The Jewish community, I think, or do you mean the Jewish or the Torah?
Both.
The Jewish community, I think, is men and women both are very much involved in the needs of the Jewish community and of the non-Jewish community, particularly the Jewish community. For instance, when I was active in the community, I was comparatively one of the few young people who participated in community ventures and community teams.
You mean among the women or both?
Among the women, both. Now, we are fortunate enough to have the majority of the workers are the young women who are, young men and women who are creative and knowledgeable and extremely capable in the work that they are doing.
Are you saying your involvement in the whole community was unique at that time? There were people
involved
in Jewish.
I wouldn't say
it was unique,
but I was one. For instance, we had a junior council and a junior Hadassah, the membership of which was rather small. But I'm talking about the younger element being involved in the community, and it was comparatively small. Now the young people are very much involved. Now at that time there were children who were in clubs and activities, but I'm talking about the adult younger element that was not involved, whereas now the younger element is very much involved.
What do you attribute that to? Education of them?
I think that the needs are great, too. And I think that Israel had a great deal to do with it. And the young people are very proud that Jewish people have a state. They feel much more Jewish.
And education, don't you? They've been educated to...
I think some of the things that their parents did rubbed off on them, mm-hmm. too. I think the Holocaust had a great deal to do with awakening the younger element in the Jewish community, that they have an obligation to help its people. And they are also involved in politics. But I think the younger element is much more involved in the Jewish community, for instance, than they are in the non-Jewish community. Mm-hmm. From what
today.
As I see today. Which was, of course, true in my time, too.
How do you view your accomplishments, successes, and failures? I'm sure, looking back at it all, you feel good about it, that you were able to help and to do for others. But could you make some sort of a statement about how you feel about all the things that you have done in the past to help the Jewish community? You've mentioned it many times.
What
you felt
mean?
There was a need and that you wanted to help. Do you feel that that was your mission to?
No, I don't think I'm not as, no, I think that I did these things for self-satisfaction, really, if I'm going to be honest about it. I felt that this is something that could, it would be to my advantage because I enjoyed being with people, I enjoyed working, I have no particular, I have no particular field at which I'm exceptional in. I happen to be good in organizing, and I, knowing that this was my fort, that's what I delved into. I have to be honest about it. Later on, I found out that seeing the world as it was, and particularly now, that I feel I have to do these things and contribute. I contribute financially to the degree that I can, and sometimes even beyond. And I feel that any person who knows what is going in the world certainly can't sit by and do nothing. Or to be involved in just one or two things. There are too many important things going on in the world today that I think everybody should be involved in to some degree. Service and in contribution.
You are at one end of the spectrum where you do your all. How do you feel about somebody who just doesn't do anything? Do you and that probably could. I'm talking about somebody that could have the time.
So many people become disillusioned when they themselves are active in the philanthropic world, that they say, why should I do it? So-and-so could do it better than I. They
or that it's always the same people doing the jobs.
One can become very disillusioned in community work if you feel, well, why should I do it when somebody else who can do it just as well as I and they're not doing anything, which is an entirely wrong attitude to have. If you believe in a cause, then you should do what you can, regardless of what somebody else may do.
We were talking about many became disillusioned and quit, but if you believe in a cause, you keep going. So will you have a disillusion?
The other thing that I find to be a matter that's has always been a great concern of mine, that those of us who are active in communities find fault with organizations, and they'll get out of them. And I've always said that whatever fault one finds in an organization, the way to correct them is not to get out of them, but stick with them and see if these things can be adjusted and corrected. That's another fault of many people who work in the community. They become involved in personalities, which discourages women, or men for that matter. When one works for a cause, we have to forget personalities, we have to realize that we're working with human beings and there will be things that may not come up to our expectations, but if we are really sincere about a cause and we find that there is a need for it, then we should stick with it and do the utmost that we can.
So how do you view your, I think this was the question she was asking, how do you view your own accomplishments, successes, and failures? Did you ever feel you tried to do something for an organization and were frustrated? Or do you feel that you were able to accomplish the things you wanted to?
I think the reason that I've enjoyed working for organizations is because I never became frustrated. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say that. There are certain things I've always expected to go wrong. I saw faults in people because I know I have faults of my own. I never became disillusioned. I think that's why I've enjoyed it all the time. Of course, I was disappointed many times. I was disappointed in people. I was disappointed in accomplishments. But because I believed in the cause, I just continued. And I think that's why, to this very day, I enjoy doing what I'm doing. And now I think that every organization that I ever started with, I'm still active in. I've had chairmanships in all of them. I belong to many more organizations than I've been. I've just been a member, but of the organizations that I've been in, I'm on the boards through these many years because I've held a chairmanship of some kind. I'm not one that belongs to a group and just pays dues. Mm-hmm. I've always participated in them, and I've enjoyed doing them.
Have you any other information you would like to add to your life's contribution of Pittsburgh itself or the Jewish community or anything for historical purposes that you would like to discuss about Pittsburgh, the organizations and your involvement?
Let's see. I really can't think of anything particular that I could add to that.
You feel we've covered everything we've gone down some of the lists that you have. We haven't ignored anything.
I do. I'd like to mention some people who, in the early periods of my activity in the organization, that have influenced me greatly. I would call them my mentors, as it were. I think I mentioned some of them to you before. Because I was one of the younger women that worked in all of these organizations, and I shall remember them as long as I live. Mrs. Joseph Malakoff.
Right. How do you spell
Alice,
that?
Alice, M-A-L-A-K-O-F-F.
Her name was Alice?
Mm-hmm.
What organization she influenced you?
That was Hadassah. Lillian Friedberg, Mrs. E.B. Friedberg.
What organization?
She was active in many organizations, too, at the time. And incidentally, if you remember, she was executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council. Mrs. William Rosenblum, who was active in Hadassah at the time. I mentioned to you and previously Mrs. I.H. Levin, Mrs. I.H. Vixman.
Wait a minute, I.H. with the L-E-V-I-N, what organization?
That was Hadassah, too.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this was the time of the
Zionist
organization,
sure.
When we were battling. And one had to be crazy. That was the pet phrase in all over the country that time. You had to be crazy to be a Zionist. Yeah. It was that time when these people really were dedicated.
Sure.
And I think I got the inspiration from them.
And
Mrs. J.D.S. Freund, who was a great influence on me, Ladies' Hospital Aid, she was the president at that time. J.D.S. Freund, D.E.S. Freund.
And
F.R.E.U.N.D. who was one of the finest women I ever met, and with whom I worked very closely. Mrs. Charles B. Berger, who was active in Hadassah and the Council of Jewish Women. She was the president of the council.
Was that B-E-R-G-E-R?
B-U-E-R-G-E-R.
What did you say, the Hadassah and?
And Council. Mrs. Raymond Kaufman, who was the president of Council. They were active in other things, too.
Was that two N's or one, Kaufman?
One.
Kaufman. She was with what, the Council, you said?
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Leo Half. Who was one of the finest women that I ever worked.
What organization? That was Council.
She was Council. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, she used to teach a public speaking from whom I took a course. Dear, dear friend and a wonderful person.
All right, who else?
Those are the women that I work very close with and who influenced me greatly.
Well, let me ask you a reverse question. Since they influenced you, do you feel that there's some of the young leaders of today that you have influenced? And I'm sure you have.
They'd have to tell you that themselves.
Have you worked with any that you have been proud of?
One thing I can say is that I, with whomever I worked, of course, every president, especially having been president, and there's no president that goes through an office without having some people that may not think well of you. But I have had very good relationships with any of the people that I've worked with. I'm sure that I may have offended some. I'm sure that some of these people may have criticism of me, but they haven't admitted that to me.
Well, I think...
But some of them are still my very best friends. You did ask me before I should tell you about some of the honors that have been this
We didn't get that.
Yes. Terrible. No, but we need all
We need that on tape, not just here. We need it on tape.
Right.
I was chosen the first woman of the year in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know what?
What
I
year
don't
was
remember.
That?
Was that UJF or what? Who was that?
That was, no.
That was
the, it was. I was chosen by either the Criterion or the American Jewish Outlook. And I don't remember. I was.
Well, do you remember what year that was?
And then I was given the floral salute by the floral salute. They would have a monthly floral salute of the leading person in the community, and I was the first one to get the floral salute. And I think it was a time when
the first woman,
first woman,
first
yes.
woman.
And I think that it must have been at the time when I was had finished my chairmanship of the United States chairman.
Who
of the
gave that?
The American Jewish Outlook.
And that was, I interrupted you there. That was when you were chairman of what?
When I had completed my job as chairman of the Women's Division of VJA, or when I was appointed to the National. I don't remember. When you may see it here in the and I just discovered, looking through my material, that I was chosen the Citizen of the Week by a radio station, WRYT. And the whole week they would announce my name. Now, how that came about, I don't remember, except that it may have been at the time when there was a national convention of Hadassah in the city of Pittsburgh.
What's the date on that document?
Oh, it was 1962, September 16th, 1962. Now, who told them about it?
Were you president of the Hadassah at that time?
No.
No.
Well, I was president of Hadassah from 1935 to 1938, and president of the conference, Pittsburgh Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations, 1953 to 55.
What other honors now? The Citizen of the Week, the Monthly Floral Salute, the First Woman of the Year in Pittsburgh.
Then I was chosen to be the honoree by the Women's Division of Bonds for Israel in 1973, which I accepted very reluctantly. It was only through pressure. On the one condition would I accept that honor, if those who attended the bond, that bond affair, had to buy a bond, or else I did not want to be honored.
And
that stipulation...
Was that connected with any other organization? Was that
Hadassah.
Was Hadassah.
Right. I did not want to accept that honor, and it was an honor, but only... However, I knew why I was being honored, naturally, because they wanted to sell bonds. And I felt that if I am going to be honored, and if it was for bonds, then those who wanted to honor me had to buy a bond. Otherwise, I didn't want to take it.
When you say that was for the Women's Division of Bondsfish, was that Hadassah or the Women's Division of Bondsfish?
She was honored by Hadassah and
the Women's Division of Bonds for Israel. And by the way, we had the largest attendance at that affair and raised up to that time the highest amount of bonds, sale of bonds. And then I was glad I did it.
Sure. Anything else?
Well, we hope you live and be healthy for many, many years to continue everything that you've been doing in the past.
Thank you.
And
very
may your
much.
Ever-growing
so
family
too.
Look back on your life with them and emulate you.
And do it much, much better.
If possible.
Much, much better.
Have you any
it's
other
very possible.
What papers are you giving us? We'll even put this on tape, what you're giving us, so we
well,
know.
Well, I'm giving you some
that
of
we can
the
keep.
Recognition that I have received.
And do you want these
incidentally,
back?
Incidentally, I
want
to tell
these back?
You that
I would think you
can even have this on tape. When I look through this material, I find that I kept absolutely nothing. I've had done a lot of, had a lot of chairmanships, a lot of jobs, all of which I've enjoyed, but I kept absolutely nothing. I think after 1957, I have no material here at all. And I want to conclude this by saying that the community doesn't owe me a thing. I have gotten a great deal more out of whatever I have done than I put into it. And I mean that in all sincerity. I really have enjoyed every minute that I have worked in organization work.
Thank you. We have appreciated
yes.
this and we have benefited from listening to it. Thank you very much. Say that again.
Every one of our children have had the good fortune of traveling extensively in many parts of the world.
Do you think you influenced them in that respect?
Perhaps. We always talked about our trip, you know, mm-hmm. and the children were anxious. And Estelle, for instance, has been in Israel three or four times. As she was in Africa, she lived in Africa for 5 years working for the United States government. Susan has worked for the Ford Foundation for 4 years in Nairobi, has traveled very extensively throughout Europe and South and North and East Africa. She worked for the Ford Foundation Population Control. All of our children have traveled in many parts of the world on their own.
How many years was Estelle in Africa?
She was there for 5 months.
Five months. Did you go back to Europe after your honeymoon? Did you go to Israel?
Yes, we went to Israel, to London, and to...
How many times did you go back after your honeymoon?
Four times.
To other communities other than Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Where else besides London?
We went back to Israel, I told you that. London, we traveled to Europe, Amsterdam, we're all over Holland, rather, mm-hmm. just to Amsterdam, Italy.
And this
France.
Was 4 times you went to each of these, or just
no,
so?
No, just
4 times to Europe.
It's 3 times, not four,
mm-hmm.
3 times.
All right, thank you.
Before our children went away to college, and four of them went to out of town to college, and only one went to college here in the city. Our family was signed up with the PCIV to receive visitors that came to this country and this city. And many times we had visitors from all parts of the world, from India and Pakistan and France and so on. And the children used to enjoy the experience of meeting these people. I think this was one of the most interesting phases of our family life. Many times we had the people for dinner. As a matter of fact, we only had them for dinner because we wanted our children to learn about other peoples in other countries. And they were very interesting experiences for the children. They enjoyed every minute of it.
And tell us about when you interviewed for the By Myself, I'm a Book for Council.
When I interviewed the people for Council's By Myself, I'm a Book, I enjoyed the stories that these people had to tell about coming to this country and their life in Europe. And I would come home and tell it to the children at the dinner table. And our children were so interested in the stories I had to tell about these people whom I interviewed. I think I interviewed about five. The children would say, oh, invite so-and-so to come to the house so that we can hear more about it and meet these people. I think these experiences of meeting other peoples and learning about their experiences is a very broadening experience for young children. They enjoyed it all the time.